It's Mark Yeagy here, wealth architect and lifestyle investor. Let's take your life to the next level. Welcome to the Wealth Architect Podcast. Hey, everybody, it's Mark Yeagy. Welcome to another edition of the Wealth Architect Podcast. We have a fun interview here today with a guy that, you know, before we got on, is telling me all about all these different things that he's done, and he doesn't look that old. So it's like amazing when people get, you know, put their mind to something and get a bunch of things done. So our guest today shares a different way of investing that doesn't use diversification or the buy and hold method. Speak in my language. And in Chris's book, his name is Chris, we'll introduce him in a second, Asset Reinvesting, How to Exclusively Hold Assets Rising in Value, Profit During Bear Markets, and Continue Building Wealth in Retirement. He explains why this approach is the way forward. He believes that investing should be about capital preservation first and growth second. I agree. And by doing this, there will always be capital invested in consistent account growth. With over 25 years of investment experience and data working with 20,000 self-directed investors, he's confident that this will become the new industry standard investment model. Join us as we talk about this interesting and different perspective on how it can be to have a richer, happier, and healthier retirement. Please welcome Chris Vermeulen. Hi, Chris. How are you?
I'm great, Mark. It's a pleasure to be on your show. Thanks for having me.
Great to have you. So I want to hear about some interesting stuff first. You're an avid kiteboarder, I think you said, right?
I am. Yeah. Love it.
So kiteboarding is that thing where you got like a little mini surfboard and then you have a parachute, right? And the wind pulls you out of the water and then you just kind of cruise around. And then sometimes you can even fly, right?
Yeah. So the only difference there is it's not a parachute. Parachutes are to slow you down and to stop you from falling. Whereas a kite is actually designed, it's a wing. You control the wing on strings. And as the air flows through it, it creates lift. And the more you turn it, the more power you get. So, that's it. It's pretty extreme, but a lot of fun.
And I think it takes some time to master it. I tried it, like I mentioned to you before, in Greece a bit and didn't get too far because the wind died on my second lesson. So I was kind of dead in the water, literally, after that. But you also did something where you invented something with some kind of surfboard. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that too?
Yeah. So I'm kind of a waterman. I live on the water. You know, I've always grown up on sailboats, traveling. I love spearfishing, anything to do with the water. But I ended up trying hydrofoiling, and that's where you ride a board that has a long, thin mast that goes deep into the water. And it's got a little set of wings underneath. And so as you're riding, the board comes out of the water and you're flying on a little wing, a hydrofoil underneath the water. And, you know, I wanted to create something. I ended up creating a jet system that becomes the little fuselage under the water that is really safe. So you can't chop yourself up and you've got a remote in your hand. And so you can literally fly about 2 feet above the water and whip around the bay and cruise around on a little electric motor. And it's like a silent, it's a pretty cool invention.
Where can I get one of those?
Yeah. You can buy them online.
Cool. That sounds awesome. And you invented it, huh?
Yeah. So I invented one so there's a propeller driven one that's out there. And I'm like, well, I don't want to ride a surfboard with a more or less an outboard motor on the bottom. It's too dangerous. So I decided to create something safe. And I worked with Transport Canada. I'm up in Canada and created something that's illegal, that's allowed in Canada because a propeller driven surfboard is not. But a jet system is allowed. So I wanted to create something safer for users that renters could use and you know, go and have fun with it versus getting chopped up. So that was the whole reason of I got it patented and I licensed out the design.
Congratulations. It's beautiful. It's sounds like a little mini jet ski underneath your surfboard and then you get the hydrofoil cruising above the water. It looks fun. I've seen a couple of people doing it and I've got to try it. So two things I got to try just on the opening part of this call. So thanks for being in here. You seem like an interesting guy. So let's talk about money. This is the Wealth Architect Podcast and we help people with money ideas and how to create their financial future. So let's talk about what you do and how you do it. You started off by saying that you don't believe in diversification. And if you listen to my show, you know that we talk about, you know, diversify among asset classes, but concentrate within asset classes. So I don't know if that resonates with you. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what you do and how that works?
Sure. Yeah. So I kind of, you know, I've been doing this since I was in high school, since 1997, got involved in the markets in high school with a stock market challenge. And that's kind of where I fell in love with the market. learning that, hey, we made like $180,000 in a semester with play money. And I was hooked. I'm like, who doesn't want to make 180 grand flipping through a newspaper, picking some random stocks, right?
Yes,
so
sir.
I was in. So that's kind of how I got my teeth kind of sunken into the industry initially. But I kind of been through the ringer. I've done the stocks. I've done covered calls. I've done, fundamental investing, Forex futures, scalping, day trading. I mean, I've kind of gone through all the different styles. And I eventually learned through the 2001 bear market that, hey, fundamentals don't work. Even if you buy a company that's got earnings quarter after quarter increasing, the share price can still get cut in half or beyond.
Yep.
And so during the bear market, the tech bubble kind of burst there. I learned, hey, fundamentals doesn't work. If price is going down, I'm going to lose money. And that was when I kind of stumbled across technical analysis. And it's been my passion ever since. The only way we make money as traders and investors is if price goes in our favor. And that's the only thing we really need to focus on. So I have moved into just being a technical trader, following just price charts. And I found my sweet spot happens to be ETFs. I focus, everything I trade is with ETFs. I don't do stocks. I don't do anything else anymore, simply because I like trading big liquid like index and bond funds and currency ETFs. I like only having one position on at a time, which sets me very different from everyone else, which we don't get diversification through the way that I trade. And that's kind of the strategy that I go is I've just leaned towards the ETF model. And so I use what is called a strategy is called asset revesting. And instead of diversifying, so going back to your question, I don't diversify. I don't believe in spreading our money out of a bunch of different assets because obviously you're going to have some that are doing well and the others that are not are countering your growth in other spots. So
yep.
the buy and hold diversification is a great way to get a really crappy low average return.
Yeah.
But that's what the masses are used to. But yep. I don't believe in doing that. I don't think there's a need to go through the roller coaster ride that can go with that strategy as well during bear markets. So my whole strategy is I focus on, I build a hierarchy, which we could get into a little bit later, but I look at what asset is performing the best. Naturally, I want to be in the most volatile ETF that has the most potential as long as it's favorable. If it's moving up, I want to make sure I'm long. If it's moving down, I don't want to be in it, or I want to take advantage of the falling prices. And so I rotate through different assets. I'll be in the equities market, or it could be in the bond market or currency, or sitting in cash. But I don't believe in holding a whole bunch of them because they kind of just average out your returns.
Absolutely. I mean, it sounds easy, right? Like we're going to put stuff in the best sectors and the best ETFs that are performing for that sector, depending on what it is. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the charts are technical analysis. So you just ride those up with your moving averages. But some people would look at that and go, well, yeah, it sounds easy, but if it were that easy, everybody would be doing it. And the other faction would go, yeah, but technical analysis, you know, using charts to figure out where the stock is going based on the past is voodoo. What do you say to that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, totally. There's a lot of people think, oh, you can't just follow price charts. It is voodoo. And there's no doubt about it. Trading, investing is difficult. It's not easy. And it takes, I mean, as you know, we learn and evolve every year. The reality is if you want to get involved in the markets and become a trader, you better be dedicated to it as a full-time job. You better focus to at least get up to speed with how things function, having the proper expectations. Most people always will be struggling with their emotions, which is the number one problem. But the next thing is most people don't understand how to manage positions. They don't know how to manage risk. And if you can't do those three are the three biggest things, and they're the three things people can't do or avoid because they're not even fun. Who wants to talk about managing positions and your emotions and risk, right?
So it's like working on your will all the time, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So what do you think is the most difficult part of what you're doing? I mean, you said it's not easy, but what do you think is the most difficult part of what you do?
Well, for me, the most difficult part, I mean, is actually just dealing with other people when it comes to this investment strategy, because our strategy, we sit in cash like 30 to 40% of the year, which sounds crazy, but I'd rather be sitting in cash earning interest than being in something going nowhere or lower. And we only, like, I like to look at the stock market like the ocean. You've got the tide going up or you got the tide going down. There's transition periods. And there's more or less four stages to a stock market. I use Stan Weinstein's theory, which there's four stages. You got a basing, which the markets are kind of dead. You've got a stage two, which is a bull market, a big rally. Stage three is a choppy topping phase, which I think the stock markets have been in for a little while here. And then you got a stage four, which is a financial reset, just like the 08 financial crisis, like the tech bubble. Those are the last two major stage four declines. So those are kind of the stages where I like to follow the markets, and we need to understand which stage the market is in, because it requires a different strategy, which people always use the same strategy all the time and they wonder why it doesn't work sometimes. But I like to look at the markets like the ocean, and I sit back in cash a lot of times, just like a surfer. You're out there, you look, you see surfers on the horizon, and they're waiting for a set, a nice clean set of waves to come. And as you know, the markets are volatile, they're emotional. There's a lot of daily and weekly chop. I avoid all of that. I'm looking for bigger cycles, bigger waves in the market that we can catch a nice, safe chunk of the trend. We don't pick a bottom. We're not picking tops. We're always in a little late. We're always out a little late, but we can lock in the middle section of these nice trends in the market. And so we're just like surfers. We wait for an asset that we like, that we know well, that we understand how it moves. And when one of those waves starts up, we get on board, we move in with our capital, we ride it up, we start to peel off partial profits, we move our stops up. And when the technicals, which we use a lot of different technicals behind the scenes, because as you know, there's intermarket relationships, everything's related in some way. When you can view them all and get a feeling for what money is doing, is it becoming fearful? Is it getting risky? Is it, you know, doesn't know what it's doing? Then we can start adjusting our positions to, hey, it looks like things are getting tired. Let's tighten stops up. Let's pull a bit more profits. So that's kind of how I attack the market. I just look for these nice waves. And when there aren't any coming, we sit back and we go and we live life and do other stuff. And the strategy I do is really slow. It's not passive investing. It's not active trading. I think both of those extremes are very dangerous strategies for most people. The average active trader loses money, like 90% of them, unless they have a system in place that they can follow. They have the rules in place that they can do that. But my strategy is right in the middle. We have like 5 to 12 trades a year. We put on one ETF position at a time. I've tried to make it so it's kind of like it's something no one else really does. It's just an active enough to catch the waves, but passive enough that we're not caught up in the noise of the markets. And so going back to your original question, what's my biggest problem? My biggest problem is trying to soothe the nerves and the emotions of people who I invest and trade with, because they're always like, there's not enough trades. We're missing this move. There's a huge move. The Fed's coming. They panic over news. They feel like if they're in cash, they're not doing anything, or, you know, we're only in one position and they see all these other sectors popping and dropping and they want to be part of it, because so many people are brainwashed that you always need to be in the market or you're missing out, and they think you have to trade a lot to make more money. And I believe that you can trade less, you can do it with a lot less risk, and you can make a lot more money if you do things properly from a logical, systemized process going forward. And I trade just the big ETFs because they are much more fluid. They have nicer cycles. It's the way I see the market. Everybody sees the market differently. I found my sweet spot that works with my lifestyle, how active I want to be in the markets. Again, we have 5 to 12 trades a year. And I can tell, you know, investors and traders, I'd be like, listen, we are like 3 or 4 days away potentially from a new trigger or hitting a target or getting out. And then other times I can be like, guys, we are at least a month or two away from a signal. And it just opens the whole world to be like, okay, I'm super happy sitting here with my wealth. I'm going to go focus on other stuff. We can play and invent stuff or travel. And everything I do is an end of day strategy. So we use closing prices, at least for entries, at least. Mm-hmm. So I've just tried to create this sweet spot that most people aren't comfortable with, because it's a style of trading that they're just not used to, right? Yeah.
Hey, it's Mark Yeagy, author of this book on covered calls, here to tell you about my cash flow machine trading program that's designed to show you how I make safe, reliable income. Now, I shoot for 2 to 4% a month of income in my portfolio, and we have courses to teach you how to do this yourself or inside a mastermind community. And the best part of it is that it only takes me about 20 minutes a week, maybe to an hour, to implement. Now, while 2 to 4% a month may not sound like much, I show you exactly how I took my IRA from $111,000 to over $700,000 in just 23 months without huge risk. Yes, I got a little lucky, I gotta say, but I'm not telling you this to brag, just to show you that you could do this too. So to learn more about this program, go to cashflowmachine.io, or better yet, go to this link to get access to videos and masterclasses that explain the entire process, the risks, and rewards even more. See you there.
Yeah, it sounds like, you know, we got a lot in common. It sounds almost like you read my book, The Cashflow Machine, because we talk about that in there. And through what you just told me, I hear a lot of, you know, I would say the enemy of the trader is emotion, right? Mm-hmm. So you have people calling you up panicking, they got FOMO, they're, you know, they might have one day where things go down and you're still in an uptrend and you're like, hang in there. So it's a lot of emotion talking. But what do you say to the people that, and I get this a lot too, I get, hey, Mark, I'm not going to invest now, even though all your signals say yes, because Jim Cramer says that there's a big crash coming. Right. Jim Cramer's the crazy guy on CNBC.
Bye, bye, bye.
Yeah, that guy. What do you say to that?
Yeah, so I stopped watching the news. It's probably going on 12 years. I've never subscribed to cable TV. I don't listen to the radio. If there is breaking news, earth-shattering news, my 11-year-old son, Ben, or Mirabelle, my 13-year-old daughter, will come in and be like, did you hear what's happening? Like, they're the ones who tell me COVID's happening. They're the ones who tell me there's fires. They, like, all this stuff, right? Like, just, so I try to remove the emotions, and I have the same problem. I have people say, well, I get articles sent to me. They're like, I just read this. It goes against everything you're saying. I'm really worried. I don't know what to do. And I try to tell, traders and investors, like, listen, you need to pick a strategy. You need to pick a person who believes in what you believe and what you're comfortable with, and try to put the horse blinders on and just focus on that. If you start listening to the news and random articles and opinions, you are going to just go into a tailspin of frustration. You're going to skip trades. You're going to get out of trades early. You're going to hold on to a loser because another one said, oh, we're going to start a massive bull market. Meanwhile, the market's not going to do that. I mean, all these things, right? So we just did a survey last week. We had over 5,000 comments, and we asked all kinds of these questions. And FOMO, the emotions driving their trades, was the number one, by far, the biggest problem. And pretty much after that is people don't know when to exit a trade. And that's simply because they're confused with analysis paralysis, and they don't have a strategy or system. If you don't, you know, everything just compounds on each other for the trader. They're totally screwed if they don't have a game plan. The markets are so efficient. It will get in their head. It will grab their money and pull it from them. And I mean, that's one of the things I look at. When you go in the market, think of the market as kind of like a robber. It's trying to steal your money, and it is going to play mind games with you. It's like poker, and it is kind of, you know, it is very good at doing that. And so that's one of my things I tell traders. I'm like, listen, sitting in cash, you're totally protected. You can do other things. Your lifestyle is preserved. So enjoy being in cash, enjoy earning a little bit of interest. There's always going to be more waves coming, and we don't want to, you know, just be in the market to be in it, because everyone else is. The general masses are generally wrong. And, I don't believe in just kind of riding things out and putting our hope in the markets or, advisors type thing who just want to park your money there.
How do you protect against risk?
Well, so we've got like protective stops. So we've got pretty tight stops on our positions, usually around 5 or 6% of a max stop. If things were just to go flat out against us right off the hop, we only trade the index ETFs with this particular strategy. We just trade the S&P 500, the NASDAQ. We trade TLT, which is the long treasury bond. We trade the US dollar index ETFs, the long and the inverse. And so as we go down, those are kind of my hierarchy: stocks at the top, then bonds and currency. And if you were to look at the volatility of those, of how quick they all move, as we go down the hierarchy and the markets get crazier, we move to slower and slower moving assets, which helps counter the increase in volatility in the markets. And if things are really crazy, we literally just sit in cash because we don't want to risk anything. So tight stops, and we move away from volatility when it starts to pick up, which is the opposite of what most other people do. People are like, the markets are volatile. They jump into triple leveraged ETFs or options, and they just get slaughtered.
It's crazy what people do. So the question for you though is, what do you do when the markets are like, we had a bear market, you know, 13 months, you know, of 13 or 14 months from November of 21 all the way through 22 till the beginning of this year. And so what do you do in those periods of time where, you know, looking back, of course, it would have been great to be in cash. Were you in cash all that year? And what do you do to make money on those kinds of market, that stage four that you talked about where there's a reset?
Right. So if the stock market's going down and bonds are going down, we just go down to a different asset that's not related. So for example, in COVID, our strategy had a sell signal a couple days into February, right near, almost near the top. Our strategy said, hey, money is moving out of risk very quickly. We got out. And so we go to the next asset on our hierarchy, which happened to be bonds. And bonds were doing very well at that point still. And we actually moved into TLT, and it rallied like 19%. It blew past our 15% target. It gapped way above it. And, you know, if stocks are going down, we move to an asset that's going up, and it has to meet all of our criteria. So we moved into bonds and we rode that up. And then once bonds hit our target, we moved to just a cash position until there was a new setup in an asset that we liked, which we ended up getting back into the markets about a month later and caught a huge move. So it doesn't matter which way the markets are going. We can move to a different asset that's moving up or just avoid it. And in 2022, when we got more so into the bear market phase, the US dollar was one of the best assets to be in. It was like the only thing that just kept going up into the right. Yeah. And so stocks were out of favor. We did still play some of the bounces. We still played the rallies in the markets. They're very short lived, but we caught those. And then when we'd sell out of those positions, we'd move to UUP, which is the US dollar index. And we would squeeze out an extra couple percent here and there between trades. So stock markets in free fall mode for like, you know, a month, almost every wave down. And we'd be in UUP and collect a couple percent and then move to cash and then wait for another market signal to get in. So we don't just sit on our hands. We're looking for a different asset to be in. And while 2022 wasn't a stellar year in terms of return, we still had about a 5.5% return on the year. You know, the indexes and the bondholder were down about 25% on the year. So we still got like a 30% spread. We didn't ever go underwater. We're just constantly like growing our account. And that's the whole strategy, is we only hold assets that are going up or we're out surfing, just waiting for the next set of waves.
I mean, it sounds like to me that it's a great strategy. And because it's long-term and you have all these other inputs, you got to have an incredible amount of discipline. And if you do, then you get rewarded. Now, in that reward, do you leverage anything? I mean, you mentioned leverage ETF, but it doesn't sound like you use them. Like, do you use options to get into these ETFs, or you just trade the straight ETF?
Just the straight ETF. I don't do any leverage. You know, investors can trade the 2x or the 3x leveraged ETFs. I just want to provide, my whole goal is I'm going to give everything I trade and I share is it's all stuff that I do with my own money. I built a strategy for myself and I share it with others. If you want to apply leverage and go out on that, do that. You can do that. All you have to do is follow our signals, but buy the leveraged ETFs and multiply the gains and losses roughly the same amount. As you know, there's a little bit of a skew on the ETFs. They don't make the same returns. People can do that. But to answer your previous question, when we get into a stage four decline, which is a full-blown 2022 bear market, was not a stage four. We haven't actually clicked into that yet. And I don't know if we will. I think we are. But when we get into a stage four, we actually buy inverse ETFs on the indexes. So we will buy the non-leverage, like SH, which is just if the S&P 500 falls 1%, the SH will go up 1%. Right. And there's the same with the NASDAQ, the QQQ. So during it, when there's blood in the streets and the markets are constantly going down, we play an inverse ETF. So as everyone's feeling the pain, we're watching our accounts kind of push higher. It is a little bit of a different strategy. It's a much quicker trade. As you know, markets fall a hell of a lot faster than they go up.
Twice as fast. Yeah.
The trades are quick and swift. And sometimes people are like, you know, it falls so quickly. They're like, we just got in, we're getting out. I'm like, yeah, we're getting out.
Right.
Because some of the strongest rallies happen in a bear market, and they will rip your face off if you're on the wrong side.
What kind of indicators do you use, Chris? Do you use moving averages? Do you use, MACDs? What, you know, there's thousands of indicators really, but maybe 200 are prevalent in on almost everybody's systems. Are these indicators that you use easy to find?
Most of the stuff is all proprietary. Like it's a lot of ratios and blending of different markets, what they're doing in relation to each other. I do some cycle analysis. If the most simple way to explain like technical analysis, like a very simple basic strategy, which is part of our strategy, is just the 20-day moving average. 20-day sure. moving average needs to be sloping up. Price needs to be above it. I mean, that is the definition. That is a very active kind of cycle in the market. And the 5-day moving average is as well. If the 5-day is above the 20-day, you've got a nice upward trend. If it pulls back, price pulls back to the 5-day or the 20-day, they're usually an opportunity. We're playing trend reversals. So once there's a new trend starting, we get on board and we ride that trend. We don't buy pullbacks or corrections. We actually scale out as it moves higher and that trend matures. But I also even share, I have a book called Technical Trading Mastery, and I share this 20-day moving average strategy there, along with this sentiment and volume momentum indicator that tells us what investors are thinking and doing with their money. So we can find these kind of cycle lows on the chart, which is a 30-minute chart. And that coupled with the 20-day moving average strategy is really powerful because we can see when market has moved too far, too quickly to the downside. It's a little bit oversold. And I like to follow the New York Stock Exchange volume. So the up volume and the down volume. And I look at the New York Stock Exchange as it's the big board. It's got all the big brand name stocks that the average Joe investor, if you told them to pick a stock, they would probably call one of them on there. And so if there's a ton of selling on the New York Stock Exchange and the volume ratio is like, 3 or 5 to 1, like everybody's just hitting the bid, sell, sell, sell. They don't care what price. If that ratio spikes up, I'm like, okay, people are panicking. Majority right. of people are running for the door. And that's usually a sign that, hey, if everybody's scared, this is an opportunity to get in. So if you can identify that daily chart, 20-day moving average trend is up, and you find these oversold panic selling waves, you buy when others cry, kind of is the theory. You can get a very quick rebound. Great for short-term momentum trading. That's what it's for. I don't do that so much anymore. I just really want to just manage a large account and protect it. But I mean, the short-term stuff, I cover it every day for subscribers that follow my research, just because it's the one thing that helps me deal with the biggest problem is people don't have the discipline to wait for a trade. So right. they love the daily analysis. They love to tinker and trade some of yep. their own money with this to keep them satisfied before the next set of wave comes and we get on and they commit to those trades. So I'm trying to always balance this, like, hold out, guys, don't get crazy. Don't get sucked into like this rally or this FOMO move here. Like we're in positions or there's a new one coming. And so that's my biggest problem, is just trying to help soothe the soul of those who think they need to be like trade, trade, trade. And we're not doing anything. And I'm like, doing nothing is doing something. And sometimes cash is king. So.
Wow. I think we're just scratching the surface of what you and I could talk about and what could help, the listeners and viewers of this podcast. But let me summarize a little bit. I'll just take a stab. You covered a lot of ground and, you covered that you believe that the market is kind of like an ocean. There's a tide going in and a tide going out. There's a transition period when those are reversing. So, we have the four stages of the market that you mentioned. You have that basing stage where you build a base and pretty much nobody's interested at that point, if I can put words in your mouth. Mm-hmm. Then you have that bull market phase, which is where I believe we are right now. We have that choppy kind of a phase where people you're exchanging buyers and sellers on the market. And so it's going back and forth and it's choppy and consolidating. And then you have that reset period of time where, I call it a bear market. It might be a reset. And those things happen every so often, right? You have a yep. big one that happens maybe every 10 to 12 years. Then you have some little ones that happen in between. And then the way you protect your people is by doing a different asset rotation through the different ETFs, depending on volatility and risk. And then you also have stops, which is a great strategy to protect things when, we're wrong, because we're not always right, right? Yep, and sure. So I think in a nutshell, that's kind of what you guys do. You use some proprietary indicators to get people in and out. And then you realize that, it's really hard to get people to listen.
For sure.
I get it.
Yeah, I think you summarized it all up there pretty good.
Oh, good, good. So, you know, there's obviously a lot more to you than surfing and technical analysis. There's a bunch of other stuff that people should find out about. And then if they want to find out about asset revesting, where do they go? Where do they go to find more Chris Vermeulen?
Yeah, they can go to my website, which is thetechnicaltraders.com. And if they wanted to, they can scroll to the bottom, join the free newsletter. You can download an infographic for free that talks about the four stages, the emotional state that investors are feeling through those stages. It'll also talk about the cycles in the market of what sectors perform really well during different stages of a bull market and economic cycle. So that's a great way just to get on board and see what I do. I do videos, each week and share articles. They can also go to Amazon. They can get my book, Asset Revesting, and see what I'm actually talking about. And it's a pretty logical strategy. It's pretty straightforward and simple if you know what you're doing and everything, and you can follow through with that.
Yeah.
So that's where they could go. Of course, I share my signals with investors as well. They can have follow my trades or have it auto traded for them if they don't want to do any of that. It can be done for them as well. So kind of provide all that on our website, thetechnicaltraders.com.
Wow. Interesting stuff. And all right, good. Well, so listen, everybody, this guy is a wealth of information. And on the Wealth Architect podcast, we like people that have lots of ideas. But he also said something very critical, and that is that you've got to have a system. This is all I preach, is like, if you don't have a system, like Zig Ziglar said, you're just a wandering generality. If you have a system, you're a meaningful specific. So that's the critical thing, is to have a system, have a set of rules, stick to them. They eliminate your emotions, and emotions are your enemy when you're in the market, because it's rife with emotion. So Chris, with that, I want to thank you for being here. I appreciate your wisdom and your time. Everybody else who's listening and watching, remember what I always say, never give up your power and your health, your wealth, or your time. See you next time. Have a great day, everybody.
You've been listening to the Wealth Architect Podcast with Mark Yeagy. Follow us on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Like and subscribe on YouTube. Share and tell your friends. See you soon.